Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com. You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station. We're millions strong, with folks tuning in from over 200 countries. We are education. We are entertainment. We are the future of food. May is our membership drive. Become a member and support us while receiving e-newsletters, advanced invites, special discounts, and a membership card. We need your support. Visit our website and click the donate button to become a member today. Thank you for believing in us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to High Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Today we'll be talking the generous table and the unofficial start of summer. Can you guys believe we're like, what, five days away from Memorial Day? And in the studio, we have the domestic goddess for a new generation. I was about to say modern goddess, and I'm like, oh, same thing though, huh? Heather Christo, welcome to Hot Grease.
Thank you.
Glad to have you.
Glad to be here.
You know, I am always thrilled to have someone in the studio that's from the West Coast. You're from Seattle.
I am. Born and raised.
Born and raised. So what's the scene? What's going on in Seattle now in terms of food and weather and all those good things?
Well, food is hot, weather is not. It's an amazing city to eat in. Just everything is so fresh, and I can't believe how lucky we are to have all the produce we have, all the seafood we have right at our fingertips. There's amazing, innovative young chefs doing cool new stuff. The weather sucks.
Yeah. I was being facetious when I was saying, how's the weather? So what would you, what's the equivalent to Roberta's in Seattle? Great pizza, hipster vibe.
Probably Tribunale.
Okay.
It started with one and it's branched out to a couple of them, but it's like authentic Naples style pizza. But I haven't had Roberta's yet. I'm going to try it as soon as we're done.
It's wonderful.
I heard it's the best.
So you grew up in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Did I read that did you go to culinary school in California?
Or? I did. I went to University of Washington and I got an art degree. And somewhere in my third or fourth year started to sweat about how I was going to make money with that art degree. And so eventually I started working in restaurants in college and made my way down to culinary school in San Francisco with the hopes that I would find a trade that I could really put to good use.
Of course. I mean, that is the best path to doing what you've just done, and that has come out with your new book titled Heather Christo's Generous Table, Easy and Elegant Recipes Through the Season. We're going to take a short break, and I want to talk more about this because summer is here.
Yes.
And you have all the tips. Listeners, keep tuning in live. We'll be back in a sec.
Ooh, I like the way you do.
Whoa. This one's called Lovin' Like This by the California Honey Drops on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
I've been so satisfied. No, I ain't never, 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 never had no loving like this before. And
today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Are you a locavore? Our Northeast regional forager for Whole Foods Market sure is. She spends her time traveling around the New York City metro area sourcing the best new or interesting artisanal and handcrafted local products for our purchasing teams at the local store level. Part of our commitment to our local suppliers includes assisting them with the process of getting their products sold at our stores. Whether it's suggesting packaging designs, pricing, or distribution methods, she's helping some of the area's best new products reach savvy shoppers at Whole Foods Market stores. Today, New York. Tomorrow, the world. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Welcome back to Hot Grease. If you're listening live on HeritageRadioNetwork.org, we're chatting with the modern Renaissance woman, Miss Heather Christo. Her new new book is titled Generous Table. So I want to talk celebrations.
Yep.
I love that your new cookbook is basically not just broken up by, you know, desserts or vegetables. It's actually by seasons and celebrations. Mm-hmm. What made you take that approach?
I mean, I would say some of it is based on where I live, and the other part is just kind of family history and the family I have right now. My husband and I love to cook and entertain, and while I am professionally trained, I'm still like a regular girl, you know, and I have kids, and life is really crazy and busy, so I kind of wanted to create a how-to kit for, well, not just women, but everybody who wanted to entertain and not have it be so stressful, like kind of demystifying the whole process and the recipes important.
And what I think when I look at, you know, cookbook shelves, you see all these entertaining or entertainment books. They seem so not approachable. Mm-hmm. What I find if you're just an everyday person, if you want to pick up this book, you can pick it up and not feel like, oh my gosh, I need to iron all of my linens or all that stuff. So what do you think some of the biggest things people shy away from when they're entertaining, what they get afraid of?
I think, and this is something that I addressed in there, it's like, how do you put it all together, right? Like, you might be a great cook. Mm-hmm. I might be a great cook, but lots of people struggle with, like, hey, if you're having this many people, like, how many dishes are you supposed to serve?
Yeah.
And how many sides are there supposed to be? And, like, maybe I can handle getting the pot roast in, but what goes with it? Or whatever the case is. So I tried to really create comprehensive menus with seasonally appropriate ingredients so they taste better and they're less expensive. And it just makes it easy.
I think, at least for me, I feel like what also makes it really easy, if, you know, at the beginning of the year, you start buying maybe a few extra linens or some glassware. What is your suggestion in terms of not having this frantic, oh my gosh, I'm having a dinner party for 10 people and I don't have 10 plates?
Right. Okay, well, maybe you have to mix and match a little. I'm a big fan of collecting. I like things that are old. I like things sourced. Go borrow some plates from your neighbor. Like, it's cool to have 5 plates of one type and 5 of the other. And I'll use mason jars for glasses if you don't have a bunch of expensive glassware. They're $1 a piece. You know, look for creative solutions. For vases, you can use empty mason jars or Coke bottles or whatever. There's lots of sources to be creative.
I want to talk flowers.
Yes.
I love, 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 love flowers. I was at the farmer's market this weekend buying like 2 things of, I can't even tell you the name. But I always feel like, okay, do I just place these? I have all these vases. I don't know any cool tips or tricks in terms of arranging flowers.
Well, I'm no florist, let me tell you. But I always learned from my mom, who was amazing. Like, yeah. I would go get stuff at the farmer's market or garden flowers. Cut them low. Because when you start trying to make those high, tall, elaborate concoctions, like, it just gets kind of scary and messy. But if you just cut it really like a low, tight ball and stick it in a drinking glass, even, it all of a sudden becomes a lot more chic. And you can go with the cheapy flowers too.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff from the market, the carnations, like, when they're clustered together, they look good.
Yeah. Okay, so go low on the flower.
Low and tight.
Okay, perfect. We're going to take a short break. We're going to get into Chapter 2, which is all about summer, and talk about some of the menus and tasty things. Listeners, keep listening. We'll be back in a sec.
You're listening to Crying Blues by the California Honey Drops on the heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. I have to remind you guys, we're in the midst of a May membership drive. So if you like what you hear, go to heritageradionetwork.org and donate. Donate to us. We have over 30 shows, or is it 30? Something like that. Great programming from the best and the brightest and the rising stars in the food world. So donate to us. We're a member-supported station. We're chatting the unofficial start of summer with Heather Christo. She's right here in the studio today. Let's talk chapter two of your book.
Okay.
Summer.
Yes.
Some of my favorite ones, I would have to say picnics. I love a good picnic.
Yes.
And I think you have like two or three that are kind of in the picnic vein.
Yes. Very romantic.
I know.
Or fun.
Fun, right? Too, even with kids, because yes. You have how...
I have a 3- and a 5-year-old little girl.
Oh,
we're
okay.
Like right in the thick of things right now.
So can be romantic and also fun for the mm-hmm. family as well.
Absolutely. My girls are always begging to go on picnics.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Because it's just like the whole idea of putting the blanket down and... bringing all the things that you want to eat all wrapped up, you know.
So would you do a lake picnic in Seattle?
I've done a lake picnic in Seattle.
Tell me about your lake picnic.
I had some friends that just moved to Seattle, and I was desperately trying to convince them that it wasn't always raining. And in the summer, when it's beautiful in Seattle, it may not be more beautiful than, I mean, it's gorgeous. So we went down to the lake, and we brought a lot of wine, and we brought nectarine mojitos and some fresh salads and sandwiches. It's fun.
I love the raspberry peach bars.
So good.
Only because you don't have to fuss with like scooping something out. You can kind of individually wrap them before you get there.
Oh yeah, just throw down some wax paper. Very easy and really delicious.
What other I'm trying to see, really all of the things that you have under the lake picnic are things that are kind of portable that you don't have to, you know, have 4 or 5 baskets and a cooler.
No, it's important. I use mason jars for a lot of things to transport for picnics because they're cheap and they're easy. And it's really important also to think about what you're putting in those mason jars. You don't want to take anything with like dairy, a lot of dairy or mayonnaise or something, and let it sit out in the sun for 5 hours. So everything in the menu is like really fresh and bright.
So I have to move to Southern. I am a Southern girl.
You are. Where are you from?
I'm born and raised in Athens, Georgia.
Athens, Georgia.
And I lived in Atlanta for a while. And you have a great, I think it's a chapter or a section that's dedicated to your sister-in-law, right?
I do.
And she's from?
Asheville, North Carolina.
Ah. So Southern housewarming. I think you also talked in that section about a liquor tasting bar.
Yes.
I'm like, love this idea. Why haven't I thought of this idea?
It's so great. So my sister-in-law, Natalie, my whole family enjoys a drink, but I don't think that we were really educated about bourbon until she came along.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my husband's favorite drink. So we've had a lot of fun experimenting with the many different brands. And one of the greatest ways to do it was the liquor tasting bar. So setting up, you know, anywhere from 3 to 5, maybe 7 if you're having a huge crowd, and tons of like really small glasses, and then everyone can go ahead and work their way through the sampling.
I know. Such a great idea. And such the styling in this book under the liquor tasting bar. I'm like obsessed with decanters now. So to see the decanters, I'm like, yes.
Thank you.
I love it. I love it. What are some of your favorite? You have a lot of great cocktails and mocktails in this summer chapter. What are some of your favorites?
I'm going to have to go with the blackberry jalapeno margarita.
Ooh.
And the cherry mint lemonade, which I put vodka in.
Aha. Love it. Love it. And
yes.
I love that, you know, everyone's making simple syrup now. Do you recommend that people who don't want to make their simple syrup, that they can go and find a great syrup from a local producer?
I mean, you probably could, but honest to God, it takes 2 minutes.
It
you
really
know,
does.
And it's so fresh, and it just tastes better.
It does.
It's nothing to be intimidated by.
Totally.
Cup of water, cup of sugar.
Speaking of intimidation and cool drinks, another great tip that I absolutely love is the creative drink coolers. So for all the folks who are listening, who live in Brooklyn, who live on the West Coast, because we do have a lot of West Coast listeners, and they're like, okay, I'm going to do a backyard barbecue or a rooftop barbecue, or I'm going to the lake. I'm always like trying to figure out, I'm sure other people like, how should I store all this beer or wine or Prosecco? You came up with some really cool ways in here. Please do tell, do tell.
Yeah, this stemmed back from what my mom used to do, I'll be honest, when we had a lot of parties growing up. And I always remember that she would take the big wheelbarrow from the garden and stick it outside with like 12 bags of ice and fill it with beer and stuff. And so I'll still do that. But I do have to credit my mom with that one. And then I like to do, like, it doesn't just have to be the plastic laundry tub. You know, they make a lot of really cool and very inexpensive tin tubs or like large laundry containers that just look better. Those are great. I'll sometimes use like a big pedestal or a vase even and fill it with ice and drinks. And then I'm not saying everyone in Brooklyn has a rooftop fountain, but a lot of people have water
features. No, but that's my favorite
features.
One. I'm like,
well, it's
wow,
so cool.
How can I buy a fountain and
and just fill it with booze?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but a lot of people, it's kind of a growing thing to have a water feature, and why not feature alcohol in it as
so
well?
So basically, people would take the water feature, put ice in it, and just put the beer around it. So typically, you can't really move the water feature.
No.
So it's like a permanent thing. But I'm sure there has to be some kind of something that resembles a water feature. That was like my favorite one. I'm like,
yeah, it looks really cool.
Love this. So I have to ask you this. Your face looks so familiar. And I think I read in your bio, don't you host some kind of show on HGTV?
Oh, DIY. It's called Rescue My Renovation. And so the season just wrapped, but it's been picked up for a second one. So
and it's on HGTV?
It's on DIY, which is HGTV's sister, another Scripps channel.
So yeah. Is it about entertaining and feeding people?
It's not. I kind of was drawn. It's kind of people who've been jilted by bum contractors and left with a mess. And this great team comes in and kind of fixes all their problems. And I was drawn in with the opportunity to redesign kitchens for some of these families who have like incredible hardships. And it was a really rewarding experience. I'm so glad I got to do it. So I got to kind of bring some of my signature style and slather it all over their house. It was
fun. Mean, you know, the home, the hearth of the of a house is a kitchen. So yep. Perfect fit.
Yeah.
Now, in addition to your book, you have a great blog, and it seems that you're on social media a lot. For folks who are listening, do tell your address, web address.
Yes, it's heathercristo.com. Really easy. C-H-R-I-S-T-O.
Heather, thank you so much for coming on Hot Grease. Again, folks, if you're in need of ideas, recipes for summer, pick up Heather's book, Generous Table, Easy and Elegant Recipes Through the Season. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Listeners, we're going to take a short break and be right back.
You're listening to It Ain't Hard to Tell by the California Honey Drops on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Please don't say you love me when you do how you do. Please don't say you care. Girl, I know you've been untrue. Well, it ain't hard to tell. You've been seeing somebody new. So please don't kiss and hug me the way he wants you to. I said the way he wants you to. You do how you do. Please don't say you care. Girl, I know you've been untrue. It ain't hard to tell. You've been seeing somebody new. But when you kiss and hug me the way he wants you to, I said the way he wants you to.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Here on Hot Grease, we do the grown-up version of show and tell. It's called Type and Tell. where our favorite folks come on and dish. Today we have the Here Comes Summer edition with the author, co-author of Skinny Smoothie, Shell Harris. Shell, welcome to Hot Grease.
Hello, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So I thought I would do this smoothie edition because all the berries are coming in. People are getting strawberries down south. People on the West Coast are getting berries. So why not talk smoothies? First, I have to ask you, the smoothie versus the juice craze, which one wins? Ha, ha, ha.
Well, you know, they both have their benefits. There's the winner is whichever one you decide to do. Obviously, juicing or using smoothies is going to give you more fruits and vegetables, which you would probably understand the American diet is very lacking in. But for me, and I think for most people, the smoothie is going to be the more efficient way to get the fruits and vegetables in your body. Some of the points that I would recommend taking a look at are the fact that you can add yogurt or milk or whey products to your smoothie and actually make it a full meal rather than juicing. You're just, you know, having a glass of juice for that. The fiber in the fruit itself contained within the pulp of the fruit as well as in the skin is going to make you feel full. It's going to provide better bacteria for a digestion system. And it's going to be cheaper in the long run because you're going to be using the entire fruit, not just the juice. So you'll need to use less fruit. And you won't have to buy an expensive juicer. I mean, you can buy blenders from anywhere from $50 and up, but get a good deal on that. And the fiber will also allow the sugar to be absorbed into your body at a slower rate, thereby stabilizing your blood sugar, and that'll give you a longer sustained energy. It won't be an immediate pop from a juice, but it'll be sustained throughout the day and keep you full and feeling more energetic longer. You won't have that drop-off afterwards.
So, Shell, I just heard you say $15 to $50 for a blender. So should people be El Cheapo with the blenders? Because I find sometimes with cheap blenders, if you're adding a bit of ice or you have frozen fruit, you have a problem. Do you have any recommendations?
Yeah, right, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say 15 if I didn't say. You can start, I wouldn't buy any blender for less than $50. There's some things you want to look for in a blender. I would say minimum starting wattage, you want about 500 watts in your blender. Higher is always going to be better. I usually tell people that there are three levels of blender. If you, the top of the line, and I have a Vitamix blender, and if you buy a Vitamix or a Blendtec, very likely could be the last blender you ever need to buy. But, you know, you're looking at a $450 starting price range to get into that. I also like the Ninja blender, which is about a $100 blender. That's good for people who are, you know, having a smoothie once or twice a week maybe. And then a good starting blender that I used when I initially started out was the Hamilton Beach blender called a Smoothie Smart Blender, which has some automatic settings for smoothies. And that's about $50. You can get that off of Amazon or any site selling the appliances. So I'd say you definitely want to start in at that, but I wouldn't get anything less than that. And the more money you spend, the less likely you're going to have to replace the blender at a later date. And something I tell people also look for is look for a blender that has a variable speed dial. Of course, there's a punch button ones, but it's nice to be able to slowly increase the speed of the blade so you can start getting a good cutting action on the fruits rather than just going to high speed if you have a high or low. Gradually increasing the power gets the fruit better mixed and chopped up and less likely you're going to have a problem with getting it stuck, especially like you had said with frozen fruits. Which are basically almost hard as ice at some point. So a variable speed is great. And if you can get a blender with the plungers in them so you can disengage the fruit or ice from the blades is great. Not all cheap blenders come with a little plunger to put in there to do that. And I'd say the other thing to look for is make sure you get a blender that has the blades as part of the carafe or part of the jar. And those should sit into a metal gear system when you put them on a blender. Some of the cheaper blenders will have plastic, and those often can break, and that's usually one of the first things that happens with a less expensive blender. But I think starting in at 50 at least, and at least going up to a Ninja for 100, or in that price range, is going to, you know, probably keep your blenders going to last you for a couple of years. But so, if you know you want to do this for long term, then going and getting the Vitamix or the Blendtec, it probably will be the last blender you ever need, and will never break. I mean, 10-year warranties, they're solid and good for a lifetime. You'll be handing those down to your grandkids.
Exactly. So summer fruits. I think when people think summer fruits, at least I think of strawberries, I think of peaches. But what are some of the fruits that you can put into smoothies that folks forget about, forgotten summer fruits?
And that's a great question, because I probably have had hundreds of smoothies over my lifetime. And I'm not even a fan of bananas, so I usually don't incorporate bananas into my smoothies. And yes, you do get sick of strawberries and apples after a while. So some of the better fruits to use in the summer, I love blackberries. They are healthy for a variety of reasons. Lots of potassium, lots of vitamin C. For men, lots of vitamin K, which is specifically good for fighting or preventing prostate cancer. Watermelon, which people may not think of as a good smoothie fruit because it's already 90% water. But it really does add a lot of good nutrients to it, a flavor you usually don't get, lots of B6, B1. It also has lycopene in it, which is a cancer fighter. Papaya, not a fruit you use very often, but again, one of those that has a flavor you're probably not used to having that adds a lot of good things to it. And vitamin A with vitamin E, which is good for specifically countering or to prevent heart disease. Vitamin E is one of those great vitamins that isn't plentiful everywhere, but papaya has a lot of it in it. Pineapple, kind of a year-round fruit as well, but in the summer it's a little more flavorful, a little more juicy, has lots of good amounts of fiber in it. Again, vitamin C, B1, and copper in that. Kiwi, great fruit to add in the summer. They always seem to be a little bigger, a little more flavorful. And as I talk about, make sure you take the skin off the kiwi. I've seen some people try to throw the whole kiwi in there. You just cannot get down the kiwi skin, so don't attempt that. But those are the main ones that I like adding into the summer. Of course, strawberries are always a good base, and they taste excellent in the summer as well. But as you said, looking for things that are a little more off the bean path, so to speak. Definitely, if you have an papaya, it's worth it to try it at least once. See if you like it.
Speaking of looking for things, we're running out of time, and I hands down think your website, smoothieweb.com, is the best place if people are looking for super cool, innovative smoothie ideas, and also your new book, Skinny Smoothies, Shel Harris and Elizabeth Johnson, 101 Delicious Drinks That Help You Detoxify and Lose Weight. They need to pick up the book and definitely check out the website. Don't you agree, Shel?
Yeah, please do. And we love getting submissions from readers. And so if anybody has, I mean, you would think there's only so many concoctions, but right now we have over 500 smoothies on the site. We try to add at least one a week. A lot of those are user submitted. We put down all the ingredients being used, of course, but we also put down what nutrient value has in the smoothies with all the new ones we're adding. So you know calories, how much potassium, how much protein, how much fat is involved. So if you don't know that, we'd love to get submissions. We'll find all the information out. We'll push your smoothie up. We'll give you credit. We ask you to take a few pictures, send those to us. We want to expand it so you know, we have a family type atmosphere where people are submitting theirs, why they like this smoothie, what did it help them with. So yeah, and the book and the website have totally different smoothies in them. We only have shown about two out of the book on the site. So if you buy the book, you're not getting what's on the site. If you look at the site, you're not getting what's in the book. But you can buy the book from the site if you're interested. But the website itself, always putting in new ones every week, and love to get user submissions when possible.
Shel, thank you so much for coming on Heart Grease. Have a fabulous Memorial Day weekend and a great summer.
Thank you. I appreciate you giving us the time for smoothieweb.com. Thank you very much.
Thank you, listeners. Thanks so much for tuning in to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Remember, you can join me here live every Monday at 3:30 Eastern Time at heritageradionetwork.org. Until then, always take the road less traveled.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.